Okay, we are recording. I'd like to call this meeting to order of the Leon County Research and Development Authority Development Review Committee for Innovation Park. Welcome everyone. If we could, let's go around the room. We'll start with those in the room and do introductions.
Cheryl Poole, Poole Engineering and Surveying.
Jay Boswick, Sperry and Associate.
Kim Ball, Architect.
Ben Hood, Engineer, I guess.
Bill Lixon, North Florida Innovation Labs.
Ron Miller, Executive Director of Leon County Research and Development Authority. And online we have, starting with Brad.
Brad Richardson, Chief of Public Land Administration for the Division of State Lands and DEP.
And Cam?
Cam Whitlock with Architects Lewis and Whitlock.
Catherine? And you are muted. Okay, Catherine.
Catherine Stivers is with Architects Lewis and Whitlock. She's a project architect, our project manager, working with me on the Innovation Labs project.
Okay, thanks, Cam. And then we also have Peggy Bilby, our administrative coordinator for LCRDA. And then, so in the room, the three members of the Development Review Committee are Kent Schoewald, Ben Hood, and myself. And according to where we're at with our bylaws, we are required to vote to allow Brad to participate by electronic means. So is there a motion?
I move that we allow Brad to.
Okay.
Second. Yes.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. So that passes unanimously. Brad, you get to participate. Thank you. there are no modifications to the agenda unless someone else has any. Seeing none, any public comment? Peggy, we received no public comment in writing. We have no member of the public present to provide comment. Approval of draft meeting minutes. Most of the committee members here were not on the committee except for Kim and myself at the time. And did you get a chance to look at those? Do you have any changes or?
I did. I recommend we accept them.
So that's a motion to approve. Can you?
I second.
Okay, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, we got the fun stuff out of the way. So the first item on the agenda of business is the North Florida Innovation Labs project. And so the LCRDA is requesting approval of its project to construct a two-story, approximately 40,000 square feet business incubator on 3.51 acres, lots 5E and 6E. And you've been provided with all of the drawings as well as the checklist comparing the drawings to the covenants and restrictions requirements as well as the PUD. Are there any questions or comments you'd like to discuss before we, as we walk through this, we can take them as we go. There are none in particular. We could go ahead and start with Cam. Do you want to describe the project? Or I'm sorry, Cheryl, you're the submitter on this.
No way. Cam probably do a better job than I will. Okay. But basically, it's a 40,000 square foot, two-story innovation lab building. You probably do a better job. For the research of several scientists and researchers, to use and as a facility.
That's right. Well, we'll have Bill go ahead and describe. Bill is, he works for us as well. He is the director of the North Florida Innovation Labs and has been heavily involved in the design of the facility, working with Cam and our engineers as well.
It's essentially a business incubator. So those innovations that have a trajectory for commercialization, this is a place to spin up those companies. So our mission is to create jobs and companies. And this is a place to do this with a focus on high technology.
It's a really unique facility in that it has wet lab space, including space for chemistry, biology, dry labs, flex labs, co-working space. It's a pretty unique facility in the whole region. You're not going to find one like this. So we've had a lot of assistance from Mary Jo Spector from FSU on the project. It's got federal funding. A lot more information you probably want to know. It's a huge project for us and something we've been working on since 2015 to get this thing moving, but it's about a 20, well, depending on who you ask. It's at least $19 million, maybe 22, 23, somewhere in there, but that's not important to this cause today. So having gone through the plans, I prepare this checklist for you, and I hope you found it useful. And this lays out the, as I mentioned, both the coverage restrictions and the PUD. And in this case, this particular case, there are two sites, but both sites are within the CNR and the PUD, so they have to meet those both of those requirements. So going through the requirements, the first item that I saw that was significant was the driveway apron. So the driveway apron appears to be closer than 50 feet from the side sight line. Do you guys agree with my interpretation of that?
I mean, it certainly looked like it. Just to put a scale on it to tell, but definitely looked like it was closer than 50 feet.
Yeah, because there's the 25-foot landscape buffers indicated on there, and that is actually in the driveway. So I think we're very well within that. Really, there are two options. The way I see it, they can either ask for a variance or they can move it. And I don't know which makes more sense. The primary requirement is, I think they're looking at an exception where you can have, if you have two sites that use the same, share the same entry, that's okay. In this case, this happens to be right next to this other project we're looking at for Danfoss. And when you look at their site plan, they are not putting the driveway right next to that particular driveway. So in my opinion, if they were to ask for a variance, I think they would be more likely to get it because of, it's not going to be sitting, you're not going to have two driveways sitting right next to each other. That's just my opinion. Obviously, that would be up to the committee to make a recommendation to the authority board should they decide to go that way.
So does the schedule allow time to explore variance?
It has to. So there's in the covenants and restrictions, it requires them to go through a process that will have to apply for the variance. We have to advertise the variance. So if anyone does object, any of the other members of the park want to object, they would have to come back to another meeting of the committee. And
I was kind of headed down a little bit.
Okay, I'm sorry.
For those people who work in the construction market all the time right now, it's a horrible place to be because of supply chain issues. And so, you know, costs are going up. Is it possible that they have time to explore the variance inside those market conditions, or is the need for the facility driving the schedule so hard that a variance really would be option number two? Have you even tried to move the drive?
Can I speak to that? We have a very tight site. We are probably slightly under or right at the sweet spot in parking spaces as it is. And I think we're utilizing the site to the maximum extent without exceeding the impervious areas. So if we move the driveway, we're gonna lose at least four parking spaces. And I think that we are being driven by a timeline necessitated by the EDA grant that we have to have the documents. We have to have the project bid and under construction in March of next year. So we are on a very tight timeline. So our preference is to not move the driveway because we are tight on the number of parking spaces that we feel like the facility needs.
So how long do we project a variance process would take?
I think it's probably going to take 60 days to get through the whole process, which the project goes out to bid in.
Well, it, Right.
So if we had it, if we had had it done, say by the first week of December, which is the next time the board meets, that would be okay. Is that correct, Cam?
Yes, that would keep us on track. We're wrapping up 100% documents in early December.
The road is, as long as the variance passes, you can incorporate that process inside the project schedule and keep going.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think, I mean, just my interpretation of it, I think the only one who may want to object to it would be Dan Foss, if they had a concern about, you know, the proximity of that driveway, but I don't imagine they will in this particular situation. They're also very supportive of this particular project, so. Okay. So we're in agreement then that it either needs to be moved or a variance requested. And another issue was on page 4, which was the finished building materials and the elevation that was needed. I think there's also an issue with the building height. So the building materials, I think we provided a sample, did we not? Wait, you have an elevation, don't we, Kim? You sent that?
Yes, we. Cheryl, what was in the final package that for the elevations? Do you have, did that get submitted?
It did when I got the email from Ron asking about those few items, and then I asked you guys, and then you guys, Ryan gave it to me, and then I turned it right back around to Ron.
Okay, so this is, does this have the material finish? I don't think that does.
The drawing I sent you last night was just depicting the height issue.
Okay, let me find that. You say you sent that to me, Cheryl?
Yes, I emailed it to you.
Sorry, I'm prepared for that one. Yeah, I remember seeing the material sheet that you had. Okay, let's go ahead and jump over to this elevation quick and talk about the building height while I look for this other file. But one issue is the building height. So there's, in the PUD and the CNR, we have a difference in the building height requirements. The CNR requires a maximum of 45 feet, and the PUD has a maximum of 90 feet. So we've known about this inconsistency for some time. Typically, it's required a variance if you go over the 45 feet. But one thing that we have looked at in the past, if you recall this, Kim, and we've had other situations where the parapet wall exceeds, you know, the roof height. And so we've typically gone with the roof height and not anything that's coming off the roof or any of that. In this case, you've got this is the stairwell, the top of the stairwell that's exceeding the 45 feet. By 2 feet. Is there any thoughts on whether that would require a variance versus, and I apologize, I haven't shared that screen. Brad, you couldn't see that, could you? Let me see that.
No.
All right, my apologies. We keep forgetting we're online here.
Is the issue that the stairwell sticks up 2 feet, but the rest of the building is,
that's correct,
at 45?
Yeah, that's correct, Ben. We have very high floor-to-floor heights because necessitated by the labs. So we have 18-foot floor-to-floor heights. So the building itself, you know, plus a parapet, and so you're, what you're seeing on this elevation is a screen wall that is screening the exhaust, the fume hood exhaust stacks, and a bunch of other mechanical machinery. That tops out just under 45 feet. And then beyond that, in the right-hand corner, you're seeing the stairwell, which is a stair that is provided for ease of access of roof maintenance. Because there's so much equipment and machinery on the roof, we know there's going to be a greater need to have trips to the roof. So we've extended the stair up to provide for that convenience. Another item related to this, Ron, I wanted to point out is that this site, if you're familiar with it, is actually dropping away from the street. So we have a taller building. So you're going to kind of be looking at the building somewhere, you know, higher than the first floor, finished floor. But as the building is falling away, this tower, in other words, is going to be recessed below street level, as is the whole building. So it's not going to have a lot of presence on the street. It's also on the back side of the building relative to it facing Paul Dirac Drive.
Okay, any thoughts on that?
Well, frankly, there are a couple of buildings in the park already that if I thought about them without knowing the numbers, they were taller than they allow 45 feet. Now, maybe they aren't, but just in my perception. So I kind of think it's an appropriate thing for this building because the floor-to-floor height will make the building much more user-friendly in terms of the wet labs in particular and the exhaust. I think it supports the function of the building, guys.
Yeah, I don't have any issues with it. I mean, 2 feet on this stairwell is inconsequential. I don't know if there's an opening to look at it as an average height. It probably complies in that way.
Yeah, and the covenants and restrictions aren't specific as it comes to where you measure.
Yeah.
And how you measure that. Brad, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, for fear of asking questions and being mostly ignorant and new to this process, I was going to ask what the CNR actually says, and I think you just answered my question that it's building height, you know, it's open to interpretation. Does that mean the building structure itself, or does it, or could one argue that it includes ancillary structures like what we're looking at here? I tend to lean towards the former, and you know, if the building itself meets the CNR and the height restrictions, that I'd be with these ancillary things being slightly above.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I think when you throw in the inconsistency with the PUD, which clearly, and the fact that it's pretty much sitting down in a hole. It's not going to be like some monstrous eyesore. We have to worry about interfering with aircraft. As we have that issue here where we have can't build big antennas and things. But yeah. Anyway, so if everyone agrees, it sounds to me like everyone agrees that that's an acceptable height. Is that correct?
I agree.
Okay. And we'll take a final vote at the end based on all of these decisions that we're making. I did find the materials. Let me share that. There we go. Brad, can you see that?
Yes, I can. Thanks.
So, Cam, you want to talk about the building materials here?
Sure. The building has, so it's a steel frame building with metal stud infill framing. The material palette is a fairly neutral palette. The overall material core structure of the building is going to be a synthetic stucco, And that is depicted in the rendering as a lighter gray. I think I can't see, I don't have this drawing pulled up either, but I think it's a lighter gray kind of in the upper right hand corner of the materials pictured in the photo. And then we have some accent metal, and that is kind of, if you look at the right hand side of the top rendering, there are you see the gray stucco kind of surrounding, and those are offices facing out towards Paul Dirac Drive. And there are rectangular frames around of a darker gray, and that is a metal panel. So the two darker metals shown in the material palette are metal panels. One is a rib panel and one is a flat panel shingle rectangular profile. And those are used as accents. And then we have a synthetic wood, which is a fiber cement product, which is the brand we're basing our design on, is Nichiha. And so that is another product, and it's meant to soften and give the building palette a little bit of warmth. You'll see we have a lot of glass on the building. That is going to be a high performance, low E insulated glass. We have taken steps to shade it from direct sunlight to help with heating, cooling, and comfort in the building. So overall, it's a fairly neutral palette. We've got some wood accents. It's meant to be a low maintenance exterior. All these materials are integral color and should last, you know, age well, giving good lifespan to the building.
Okay, any questions?
Oh, I'm a little puzzled, and it may just be me from way back, but is there a logo of some sort or a sign?
Yeah, there'll be a sign up here.
Round.
That's actually, that is our, that is a buckyball.
A buckyball.
So that's the logo. And that's a proposed area for a sign. It will probably not be that sign. But the signs will actually, those will have to meet specifications as well. But typically, as long as above the roof line or, you know, flashing neon or something like that, we're typically okay.
Yeah, that's a graphic representation of a placeholder for a sign graphic. That's where we would like to see the name of the facility or some kind of graphic that, it, you know, kind of draws your eye to the front door.
Very well be something like that. Any other questions? All right, if you got a question, speak up. I don't have you on the screen at the moment.
I don't have anything.
So, Cam, because I know you guys in your work, I'm inclined to believe that you have already made considerations for energy efficiency and the envelope, et cetera.
Absolutely. We have continuous insulation around the perimeter as required by code. We have, I believe, 6-inch exterior stud walls. I don't remember the exact U value of the building envelope, but, you know, we're working with AEI. The building will meet energy code or exceed it. We are not targeting to be a LEED facility, but we are trying to keep energy efficiency in mind as we are designing our systems and our envelope.
Okay. Any other questions on that? Okay. I think we had two other issues. One was the lighting plan. Did you give me a lighting plan? I have a lighting plan.
Yeah, I don't. At the time, I don't think that there was one ready yet.
Okay. So that will be an outstanding item that we'll have to get. And we could consider that when you come back with a variance request on the entry drive.
Catherine pointed out to me or to the group through chat that we exceed energy code.
Okay.
Thank you.
And that's a good thing?
It's a good thing.
Exceeding energy doesn't sound good to me. It's the future.
No, it's reducing your energy load and need going forward, so it should save operating cost.
That'd be funny. It's not working. Okay. And actually, the one last thing that we have is the parking. And this has been a recurring theme with parking in the park. The requirements of the PUD total, what was the number, 180, and 102 are provided. And this is a situation that we typically find, which is the use of the building doesn't really require that. And then also considering that it's in a multimodal transportation district, which the PUD does contemplate that adjustments can be made allowing for that. We're on a bus route. We will be working with the students and others. The occupancy of these individual labs will not be high. There's approximately 50 spaces that could be occupied in terms of offices and labs. And then if not typically, are they all gonna be working at the same time? It'll be a 24-hour facility. So we think it'll be well dispersed. We don't see a problem as the future owner, but again, any comments, questions, concerns?
My thoughts on parking is it really is a should be driven by the use of the building and how it's used more so than some table in a PUD or a code. And if this is the appropriate number, then based on office space, is there any like events that might?
Yeah, there could be some events
that might require overflow or something. I'm sure you have plenty of provisions for that around here.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Clearly we do. We have adjacent parcels of ground. We have a cul-de-sac down there. So we don't, and most events will probably be off hours as well. So,
right.
So I kind of take this PUD requirement as more aggressive than our covenants and restrictions. And I support the PUD reduction because I think it's a more progressive type of planning. It's better for the environment because it's reducing all carbon emissions and supporting the multimodal transportation requirements. And from my perspective, if we could provide all of the independent parking spaces, we're really not serving the environment to the best of our abilities. So I'm fully on board with this.
Brad, any thoughts?
I'm good, sir. Thank you.
So with that, I think we've covered everything that's in the list here that I had a particular concern about. Does anyone else have any other comments, questions, concerns?
My only other question, and I'm not entirely sure it's appropriate for this forum, but you can tell me if it's not, is the wee little bit of parking in the floodplain. Is that?
The city determined that to be altered floodplain.
Are so as long as we can it's just compensate. It's like, it's almost not even worth talking about.
Yeah. So we're allowed to compensate for that little bit of fill.
Okay.
Hey, Ron.
Yes.
I have the electrical site plan that I could share with the group if that would help facilitate that approval or acceptance at this time.
Go ahead and share that.
You would like me to?
You want to?
Sure.
Be quick, because we got to get moving to the next project here.
Can you see my screen?
The wrong screen up there.
It says I'm sharing the...
We can see it now. I just didn't have it on the big screen.
Okay. So it's a pretty straightforward site plan. We're using parking lot style pole mounted fixtures to illuminate the majority of the parking lot at a level that meets, you know, design standards for parking lots. We have a couple of bollards by the front door. We have a couple of bollards lighting this secondary stair exit, could be used as employee entrance exit into the facility, but it's a pretty straightforward application.
And again, sitting down in a hole there, we're not going to be dealing with a lot of glare, and it's very well thought. And the CNR requirement, as you'll see on the last page, says all exterior lighting shall be designed, erected, altered, moved, and maintained in accordance with plans and specifications submitted to and approved in writing by the committee. So I think the big thing there, I think there was some other mention about glare. Again, they just want to make sure that the lighting is somewhat consistent in the park and that, you know, people aren't putting bright lights or blinding drivers and things like that.
Right.
So, okay, any other questions?
I have a question about the boundary on Van Ness Court side.
Yes. So you want to go ahead and stop your share?
Sure.
So I'm not sure exactly what sheet it is on, but maybe go to the and if you could.
Oh, you don't survey.
My question is this: there's very little landscape located along that edge. Can you talk to me about whether that? And I was reviewing this on very small computer, so I apologize if it was there and I just didn't really understand it. But it appears as either berm or swale in the area. But can you talk to the screening on the Van Ness Court side?
Are you pulling up a landscape plan, Ron?
Yeah, sorry. Well, I think it's at the end.
That's it, right?
That's it right there.
So there you go. That's really the plan that started to raise the question for me.
Can you share the screen with the online audience?
I'll try it. It's all me here, Cam. Slow down.
No pressure.
He's the IT department as well.
Yeah, that's my other hand. All right, can you all see it now?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so somebody talk about that area.
Yeah, which area are you talking about now? Over here?
This, yes, down. Keep going toward that whole area. What, describe to me what's going on.
Cheryl, do you want to take that?
Basically, the elevation of Van Ness is much higher than the rest of the site. Uh-huh. So you essentially have a landscape berm kind of built in because of the height difference. So in conjunction with that elevation difference, then we'll also have the proposed plantings along that. So between the two should
provide. So it's 6 feet high?
Yeah. Provide a good screening of what's okay below.
All right, so as long as that meets the opacity requirements, I think that's answered my question.
Anything else? Okay. So then it looks like the only exception that we have is the variance for the apron not closer than 50 feet from the side sight line. Everything else. Okay, so is there a motion to accept the proposed project with the exception of the apron on Paul Drock Drive, which will be required to come back with a variance request?
You'll be coming back with the signage package as well with the emblem on hold?
Yes, they'll have, yeah, we'll have to have the specifics on that.
So I move we accept the package as is, provided they pursue the variance for the driveway and they return with the signage package that addresses any of the accessories on the building that would apply.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 There's none. Okay. Thanks, Cam.
Thank you.
Okay. So the next project is Dan Foss project. You got to be out there at 10 o'clock. Is that right?
Well, as long as Cam meets with them.
Oh, okay. Cam's at the next meeting?
Cam's at my next meeting.
Okay. So the next project is the Dan Foss Turbocore project. Somebody like to introduce that project, Cheryl?
Yeah.
with this one either. I've just worked the civil part. Thanks.
Yeah, you probably know all that.
Yeah, it's a 150,000 foot manufacturing facility. As of today, we have basically the first floor, and we've got second floor mostly offices. And then there is a third floor mezzanine today, more for mechanical and to put the air conditioning in it. We are looking at heights and different ways to save a little money right now, budget-wise, because of the prices, as you have mentioned. So height isn't set totally, but it is under the 45, I'm pretty sure, so far. We'll be able to keep it down. It's kind of rough. It's a big building, as we know. It's almost, square, 300-400 feet each way or so. And I know the one thing we had a little building on the back, and there was some question about the easement or the setback because there's a property line there, so I don't know exactly where that is, and making sure we'll talk about that. And we had an issue, I think, with the drive and dealt with it off of Paul Direct originally. So I don't think there's anything else that I know of too much. I think it might be a little over what y'all require for pervious, maybe, that we're talking about a little bit besides that. The pond's in a neat place. It's kind of behind Capital City Services over there, and slopes well that way. And, Roberts will be a good, depends on how you look at it. You won't see the building a lot because I'm going to leave a bunch of trees up there, but, it's going to be very nice looking that way. It's stucco, as we mentioned, glass. It looks very similar to what they've built now. It's kind of facing the existing building, which is across the street. That parking we had built a few years ago is there now, and we will have some more parking, but mostly traffic for the semi-trucks. Their intent is to bring in material from one end and ship it out the other. So they're coming off of Roberts, and then they'll go out all direct back there to get in. And then we kept the parking for the people kind of facing the other building so the trucks don't mess with them. So we literally went around it. That's a big deal to put a park, drive all the way around. It was a big deal back there in the back, but we figured for safety and all that. And I think there was a lot of comment about trying to keep our traffic on our site, not get so much on Paul Direct. So.
Okay, thanks, Jay. So this is a little bit more complicated project in that it is sitting on two different sites with two different owners. So the northern property is on state, I'm sorry, the northern property is owned pretty simple by the authority and is leased to Danfoss. The southern property is owned by the state of Florida and leased to the authority and subleased to Danfoss. So we could not provide a unity of title. So it was determined that they would, in working with the city, that they would move the building that Jay referenced that was sitting too close to the property line. And it was originally, I think it was over here. My understanding is they moved that. It was
the accessory building, I believe.
Right? It was a compressor building.
Yeah. That one right below where you're at, about that building.
Actually, that's not a building.
Oh, okay.
But it was up here somewhere. I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been moved. Yeah. So that was recommended by the city. So the challenge is that the entire project is located within the covenant's restrictions, which was done as part of the leasing of that property. But the northern property is under zoning M1, and the southern property is under the PUD. So we've got a little other conflicts that are happening here that we're going to have to work through. So I went through the list again. I noted on the checklist that the CNR applies to both lots and the PUD only to the southern lot. So the first item that came up was the site coverage limitation.
The southern lot's the left lot on the street, right?
Yes.
So the building is not in the PUD.
Correct.
Correct. The building is not in the PUD.
Okay.
So the when you look at the north lot, this lot, it is 59% coverage versus the CNR requirement of 50%. Now, if it had been in the PUD, it would have been 65%. So in this case, and I'm guessing the city had no, because of the stormwater facility, the coverage on our property.
Typically, you would have had a more stringent requirement, but because we were able to preserve a large substantial buffer along Roberts Avenue, we were able to increase our impervious area for that particular site.
So any thoughts about that?
My only thoughts related to lot lines and such would be whenever you have properties with two ownerships, there needs to be some kind of agreement in place between those two properties for easements or maintenance or something, as long as all that is addressed.
And that's addressed.
Property lines are made up.
Yeah. And while there are two different real owners, they're leased, they're both either owned or leased by the authority, and we cover all of those issues in the lease with Dan Foss.
Right. So stormwater from one parcel onto the other and all that.
We're going to talk about that in a second. Yeah. That easement is an issue that we're going to have to address. So,
but we're split.
But
Stormwater split.
Yeah. Everything on the north side is going to the stormwater pond. Everything on the south side is directed into Paul Drack,
which goes into that pond. Yeah.
So we did have that division.
But the majority of us going into that stormwater facility, right? I mean, you're only talking about
the parking on
everything kind of flows right here, and then everything from here kind of flows this way.
Yeah, and all the parking, all the loading dock area is collected and goes to Paul Drack.
Okay. So I guess from my perspective, the primary concern with the impervious is the stormwater, is managing the stormwater. And clearly they're doing that. They're using the site within, assume if it had been in the PUD, I think they'd be within a reasonable number for us at 59%. It's not a major deviation in my mind. In my opinion, I think it's something we can accept. Is there any other discussion on that? Any other comments?
What's the entity that approves the stormwater facility?
That's going to be the city. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And the water management district, I would assume.
Yes.
Works for me.
Okay. Any other comments, questions, concerns on that? Brad, again, speak up if you're not on the screen at the moment.
Can you maybe just use your cursor to show me where the lot? You said north lot and south lot. I'm still confused on which north and what. This is rotated for me. So north is to the right. So where's the
north? And this is south. And the lot line is, I think it follows.
Right? It does. So.
Okay. Okay.
It's all parking in that on the state property. And just a note, Brad is with DEP. You represent the state. And they're basically our landlord. So he has a very good understanding of this particular division. Any other comments about this? Or are we willing to move on and accept this 59%? All right, here
I'm okay with it.
All right.
I think they've made a good case for it.
Okay. The next issue, which is, I'm going to skip that next issue. Let's talk, and we'll come back to that one. Let's talk about the height limitation real quick. They have did you send me that elevation?
I don't have it as far as, showing. I just gave you a number.
You said 48, right?
Yeah, the architect gave me that.
Okay, so again, it's 48, and it sounds to me, Jay, that may go up or down a little bit.
Yeah, I think it may end up going down. They're trying to keep it down a little. They just first went with all their best case, plenty, I think. So they wanted 30 clear. So for racking and all that, but they are looking at the racking and the intent with the budget and all these numbers that come out is to try to bring it down. So that's true. And it is a gable building with little slope, very little slope. So it would be the peak in the middle of the building. So I don't think in Roberts or anywhere looking at it, you would see the peak of the building. It's like I said, 400 feet, I think, wide. So 200 feet back before you get to that
48. So
what's the M1 requirements for that?
I'm not sure.
If you go to a C2 sheet,
sorry, my mouse wheel is out of control here.
Down.
Try this.
One more.
Not C2.
Okay.
Okay. Where at?
That's
maximum building height, 3 stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just says 3 stories.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I think that's where.
Typically, we'll put what the code requires. I guess that part can get on there.
Okay. I guess my point is that, you know, just as we said with Northport Innovation Labs, we're within 3 feet. The CNR is 45. The PUD is 90. If it's within code and this parcel is not in the PUD, in my opinion, we're kind of at the same place that we accept this. And unless there's an objection or any other comments, questions, concerns on that.
That's what I remember. The city code just says stories that don't give an actual height.
So that's some really big stories.
I knew there was a reasoning behind that.
Same thing for wetland.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking clear height manufacturing space is probably what you're looking at, right?
Yeah.
That's the key. MMPD, you probably have a minimum height on the first floor anyway that's 12 to 25 or something kind of ridiculous.
Okay.
So you're probably dealing with cranes and facilities.
Yes,
ma'am.
Yes.
Height for cranes.
Right. Okay, so if there are no other concerns, I think we can move on from that.
Yeah.
Let's see, we had, I'm still trying to stay away from that. Well, let's go ahead and go back to that. Let's go back to the 8-foot buffer on, this one's a little more complicated, I think. And it's this, we're talking about this area right here. So to the south here, I'm sorry, to the east, which is the bottom. Wait, I'll get it right. Yeah, east. Sorry. This parcel is within the PUD and CNR. It is actually all the way across is this portion down here is occupied by Florida Virtual Campus. Which actually has a private owner, and they've got the corner of the building. Sorry, my mouse keeps causing that to pop up. But they got the corner of the building marked down there. You can kind of see it. Y'all see that? What I'm talking about here? Let me go.
Sure.
All right. If you go straight down from my mouse, because if I go down there, it'll cover it up. You see that
existing little building? I got it.
Yeah. See that down there?
Yeah.
So that's what you're talking about in terms of where the other building is at. So the requirements, there's a couple requirements here. One, the landscape screening is required to be, the parking setbacks required to be 25 feet and screened. Show me the right, jumping around here, sorry.
8 feet.
The building setback is required to be 25 feet from the side sight line. According to the CNR, and all they've got is the 8-foot buffer.
Building or is it parking?
I'm sorry, building. Let me go back. There's a couple of requirements here. Sorry, let me get.
Building is easily 25 feet off.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The building's fine. It says natural vegetated buffer along rear and side sight lines. That is the setback. I'm sorry, that one's not an issue. It's the parking I was looking at. So under the parking and loading on top of page 3, it says 25 feet setback, parking setback. Side and rear sight lines, according to the CNR. And it's only 8 feet. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, I think, I mean, personally, I don't have a problem with it, but I think the other property owner is the one that's going to have to weigh in on that.
What is the setback to the adjoining building?
Here?
It's over 200 feet to the building.
Well, extra. From building to buildings, 200.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what is the other building on the other side, the setback, how far?
What other building?
Over here.
You talking about from the parking?
From the property line, from the parking? Parking 60 and it's probably another 20, so maybe 180 feet. You know what I think might be helpful for me is, and I'm just kind of guessing it, the fact that there's curb inlets drawn, but no pavement lines on the adjoining parcel. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that that property also isn't 25 feet off the property line with their parking.
That's a good point.
I'm speculating that curb lines are on curbs, or curb inlets are on curbs.
They are.
Which is probably safe.
Actually, if you looked at your, I don't know if you guys have this. This is an overhead view of that. And you can see the adjoining parcel with the parking lot. Now, it's can't exactly measure that, but
maybe like to see that parking. Laid on this just so you can sort of see the context of the whole thing, but
sure.
If I'm not mistaken, is there an easement in there for the driveway?
Easement for?
I think there's an easement that goes from here to allow access to this parcel back
yes,
here.
There is. But it's further, it's on the other side.
Well, there's one on the south side or the east side, but there's one on this side right here as well, I believe. This curb, you can see the apron right here. There's a drive. I think this kind of gives you an indication of where it's at. If this is accurate, I'm assuming that part's accurate.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's part of our survey. We actually did the site to the east way back in the day.
Okay.
So I can definitely bring that in, but yes, that is definitely parking that goes along.
On the storm drain that's on the south of the property line, kind of on the east edge of it, there's a curb inlet, and it may just be kind of a funky orientation of the inlet itself, but it almost makes me make it look like there's an interconnect there. Is that true?
There probably is a stub, but we never made a true connection to the parking lot next door. Is that what you're talking
about? Yeah, and is that something that should be honored?
It's
if it's there, or
oh, you talking about a stub going west?
I'm just again, I'm kind of speculating based on the orientation of the curb and how I think the curb is oriented.
We didn't have a stub going west.
Yeah.
We had an interconnect to the north.
You talking about this one?
No, we're talking about with the.
Oh, right. Right where you are.
Right, this one?
Keep going right. No, keep going right. Keep going right. Right. Keep going right. Right about there.
Oh, okay. That's where it joins the.
That inlet, the way it's oriented, tells me that there's a curb line going east and west there, which starts to hint at maybe something approaching the property.
That's the back side of the property.
Yeah.
And there is
it's kind of a guess.
There's a drive that is there a drive that goes around the back? Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
That might help you a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think no matter how you look at this, I think you have to do a variance request on this because of the impact on the adjoining property.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it might be a mitigating factor that there's already parking that, and we could get more information for the variance request that would maybe spell this out a little bit better for the committee to consider that request. But you know, my biggest concern in this matter would be a dispute, you know, with the property owner, especially given it's a private property owner. Is there agreement on that?
I agree. Yeah, as long as if the variance is the appropriate vehicle for doing that, then yes.
Yeah, technically it is where you have a deviation from the covenants and restrictions. Again, we have a little odd situation here, given the M1 zoning, the PUD, and if there's one of the things I do want to do is contact council and make sure our council agrees that given these conflicts, what's the appropriate measures. In the case of the M1, if I'm not mistaken, only requires an eight foot buffer. Is
right.
that correct?
Yeah, actually, yeah, when we did this site, I really did not realize that the north side of the property was subject to the covenant restrictions of the Innovation Park. Otherwise,
yeah.
I would have made probably a little more adjustments.
But yeah, and that was done. Actually, when you gave me the survey is when we added it to the CNR. And that's when it got recorded as well. So I thought I shared that with you, but maybe I didn't. Okay. Anyway, and again, in my personal opinion, I don't think it's a problem, as you said, because of the adjoining property and the way it's used as well. And I think the fact that it meets code is helpful, but I don't know how the city looks at these conflicts between zoning and PUD.
They don't, because this is not part of the PUD, it's just M1.
That's what I'm saying though, but now you have a conflict where one zone abuts another zone. So in this case, you've got the M1 here, but over here you've got the PUD.
Yeah, there's no coordination required between the two.
There is not, okay.
Yeah, the parking setback from the cities, it's not a zoning issue,
it's environmental issue.
Now, if there were different uses, there might be a buffering issue, but I don't think that's the case either.
Okay. Well, I'm going to.
It would comply with the city code.
Well, I assume that because you've already been through the preliminary review, and I've seen the notes on that. But
right, yeah, we got our conditional site plan approval from the city.
Okay, so it's. To me, I think this is number one, I got a bit of legal court clarification. And number two is if council says you need to do a variance because it contradicts the CNR, regardless of the zoning, and they've agreed to include that property in CNR, then a variance is probably the appropriate path. But if council says no, because we have this conflict, then it may be a matter of just reaching out to the owner and making sure that they don't have an issue. And if they do, then maybe the variance process is the way to deal with that. So I'll get clarification on that, and we'll either come back with a variance or I guess what I'll suggest is that when we make a motion to approve the project, that we do it subject to clarification from council. And in the event council agrees that it should be a variance process, we request the variance process. If they disagree, then they'll give us guidance on how to proceed. Thanks. How about the buffer itself in terms of the screening? I thought the landscape plan was a little light on detail.
Typically we'll have to show, trees and shrubbery to meet city requirements. Make it on the conceptual landscape plan. The main thing is we will add, shrubbery to go in there along with the trees.
So there's from the overhead view of this, there's a substantial amount of trees on the other property, is that correct?
Right, yeah. And our grading is very minor in this area with the parking lot, so we won't anticipate any kind of encroachment onto the forested area at all.
And this, that's what you're calling the forested area down here?
Right.
Okay. And this area over here, is that the same thing? I know you got a parking lot next to it. Is this going to stay intact, or is this?
Correct. Yeah, the connecting drive will definitely, within moderate on either side.
Let's see that. Here we go. This might help a little bit to kind of see what we're talking about. Brad, can you see that?
Yes.
That's the overhead satellite view. So here we have some of the buffer that's existing, going to stay there. And this is the adjoining parking lot. This is also Dan Foss property leased from us, where the lot's going to enter up here. Does that help give you a better feel for what's there? Is any of this going to be retained?
No,
that's all coming out?
Yes.
Okay.
Except for as you get further south, we can save, you know, some in that corner.
See on the parking. Yeah, that sure doesn't look like they're.
It's parking both ways.
Yeah, but in terms, yeah, what I'm saying is in terms of the buffer, that does not look like the 25 foot buffer, does it?
No, in that one corner in particular up on the top.
I see the cut you're talking about right here. There's.
Yeah,
there's
something.
Again,
there's some sort of something weird going on up there.
There was I've walked back there. There's an easement here, and with the intent that they were going to provide access to this parcel back here, so it wouldn't get locked in and could have access from the street. And at the time, the person leasing this parcel also leased that back parcel. But that changed. So, but there's a stormwater pipe right there that outlets into a ditch or something over there, if I'm not mistaken, or it's an inlet. I'm sorry, it's
going
the other way.
Yeah, it just continues on.
But I can't remember exactly where that falls, but it's somewhere over in there.
Right. Yeah, and it connects through and goes to out to Alderac. That was our connection stub.
Okay. And I think that probably will help make the case with the current owner that if they're not in compliance, then. And I don't know going back in time, you know, what the review process was back then, but I think it certainly helps the case that this would be acceptable. But I'll convey all that information to council. We didn't discuss that. But outside of that, it sounds to me like we're all in agreement that that is not an issue as long as it's adequately landscaped and falls within the city code.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
As long as the owner doesn't complain.
Well, the owner may complain, but we'll have to deal with that. But we'll take appropriate steps to make sure the owner at least discussed them with us.
So the assumption here, though, is that in the previous development on the adjacent site, that there was likely a variance.
Likely, yeah.
So is it possible that we pull that variance and see exactly what we did there?
I can look. I'm not sure about the location of records from back then, quite some time ago. But we've moved since then, as you've seen. So I'm not exactly sure where I can locate that or if it was recorded. You didn't. I don't know. Variances get recorded. I don't think we've ever recorded them.
Not that I recall.
How old do you think the development is at this point?
The whole development?
Yeah, where are we adjacent?
That adjacent development is probably.
It was 2000.
Is that right?
2000.
I think it was.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
Unbelievably, I might actually have this.
Okay.
That would have occurred at a time that I was working for the board.
Okay.
And that's part of my job description. It would have been my responsibility.
I've got a bunch of records, but it would take some searching to find it. And again, I think it's only going to be a problem if the owner objects. But I think the fact that it's the way their property is situated, I think it's going to have a hard time objecting. Okay. Well, we need to move on if there's no other comments on that. Another issue that I had was screening. A couple pieces here on the
share this again.
You guys don't realize how hard this is to look at a big screen and move your mouse. Okay. So one of the concerns is this area here. So over here, we have the North Florida Innovation Labs project that we just discussed. And then we have this gravel lot for container storage. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on there?
I'm thinking they're going to put finished product. They're thinking if they can't get it out of there in time, I think it would be in a container, not just sitting on a truck, but I'm not sure. But the thought is if they couldn't get it out of there, sit there.
So what kinds of containers are we talking about?
Yeah, I think
cargo containers.
That's what I'm thinking in close, because they're the compressors, finished compressors. They just sit them out there on a regular flatbed. I think they'd be enclosed. But I haven't asked that question, but that's the thought.
That was my understanding.
So this is short-term storage?
Very short, yeah. It's just if they can't get truck in or something happens, is my understanding.
Okay.
I will confirm that, Kim, because I hadn't asked it quick. So let me ask that and answer that.
So it's probably a container trailer?
Yes. It's a container on a trailer, probably. If actually could, we probably put the compressor in a container sitting on a flatbed.
Okay. So as far as the requirements of the CNR is that if you have outside storage of any kind, it has to be contained within it has to be walled in with materials similar to the building, okay, and screened. So that is I think that is a concern, because basically what you're talking about is truck trailer parking. Is that correct?
I think so.
I mean, however, whatever storage they're end up doing, if it's not a permanent structure, you're talking about short-term temporary storage, it's in containers, it's probably that's what we're talking about here. So
just to clarify, even if it wasn't on a flatbed and it was containers stacked or sitting there, same thing.
Same idea, yeah.
Okay.
So now we've got this, we've got containers here, visible to this side, visible to some degree from the street. You've got this inside the setback. Is that correct?
Yes.
And this is gravel, which is another issue, in my opinion, less of an issue. Some of the CNR requirements were developed way back when, and I think what they were trying to avoid is having people putting in gravel parking lots. Since then, the PUD actually does encourage some, low impact design services, and I don't know if gravel qualifies, but obviously, for maintaining some pervious surfaces, I would assume that's helpful. It is set back from the road quite a bit, but this is a concern here, is the visibility to the other property, and as the property owner and future operator of that facility, we would be concerned about having stacked containers, metal containers over here that's not screened.
Discuss that.
What's that?
I will discuss that. Ricardo, if you will.
Yeah.
It's been kind of floating in and out of the site. Sometimes they want it, sometimes they're, nah, we don't need it. Okay. So it might be something that they can eliminate.
I'll
Ron, they never
changed their
mind.
And I will remind you, Jay.
You dealt with them.
I'll remind you, Jay, that this is being recorded.
Okay. Very good.
Another thing to keep in mind is I keep hearing about changes. Okay. If you make any substantial changes to these site plans, you're going to have to come back.
Yeah.
This is not, I think the expectation is that we're pretty close here.
Yeah, I think the building's the only thing that's,
structure, unless it's a major height change.
Pretty pinned down as long as we agree with what y'all have, I think.
So my recommendation to the committee is that we require that this gravel area be screened with a wall similar to the construction that's required by the CNR. Any comments, questions, concerns about that?
I agree with that.
Yeah, I would agree.
Brad, I don't know if you're still on the call. know Brett had, I think he had to leave at 10.
I'm here. I didn't want to just leave. I didn't know if I could. I'm already late to that other meeting. I'll just stay as long as I'm needed here. It's fine.
Appreciate that. So any other comments, questions, concerns about that, that everyone agree we should require that they follow those specifications in the CNR?
Yeah, I agree. Screen.
And we can adjust it out of the building setback.
Is putting it in the footprint of the phase two building out of the question? Seems like an easy.
You mean temporarily?
I don't know how long the phase two buildings is away, but.
That's hard to say.
Yeah. Well, they're already into what was the phase two. Originally, it was supposed to be a three-phase project, and they decided to build one and two at the same time. So that's really the old phase three. So that's how things change. These guys. Anyway, I think we'll leave it at that, and then you guys can come back and tell us if it's going to be something different, but that will make it subject to that requirement.
Okay.
And just to note, because all of the parking is in the back up here. So the parking does not have to meet any of the PUD requirements since it's not in the PUD. And there are no parking requirements in the number of spaces in the CNR. So we don't have any parking issues as it relates to that particular property. One item I want to make sure we get to quickly here is on the easement. So we've got a request to do a drainage easement. And you can see it here. I don't know if I got the right drawing, but this is basically it. So they want an easement to run from the stormwater pond to the adjoining property, which is not on their lease. So the lease, this is the boundary here. So this is actually authority leased property from the state. You already have an easement going this way. This would connect to the pipes. I assume it's the overflow pipe coming out of this stormwater pond.
Yes.
And then it drains to the west and hits the ditch. Is that correct?
Yes, Munson Slough.
Munson Slough, yeah. So the state has to grant that easement, but the authority has to send a letter agreeing to that. And I personally don't have a problem with it, given that everything else that's going on over there. I don't know, you know, what's going to, when you consider setbacks and everything else, I don't know what else is going to go in this corner over here that could be potentially a problem, but it's like that problem already exists. So does everyone agree that the authority should agree to grant that easement, recommend to the state that they grant that? Brad, do you have any, I know this is kind of your thing because your name's on that application, if I recall.
Yeah. I'm okay with the easement. I guess when you and I spoke a few weeks ago, I misunderstood the who owned property where. So correct in this easement abuts property owned by the authority on the north side?
Property here is, so this is authority owned property leased to Dan Foss. This is authority leased property from the state that is not leased to anyone else. It's not subleased to anyone else.
Okay, so that'll have to be granted to the authority.
The easement granted to the authority?
Yeah, it's granted to the property owner.
Well, you're the property owner.
But it's being granted to the authority because the pipe's coming from the authority's property, unless I'm misunderstanding.
You are correct. Dan Foss is leased.
Yeah, we wouldn't grant it to Dan Foss as the leaseholder. It would go to the property owner, the fee simple owner.
Okay.
So I don't know if that causes heartburn on the authorities end or not.
It's not, because we handle that relationship via the lease anyway. So Okay. I don't think it changes our position.
It only changes that you're now the applicant versus, you know, submitting concurrence.
Yeah. Glad you're on the call.
Yeah, and that way, I mean, another thing is I think there was an easement fee involved. Had we had to issue to Dan Foss, there will not be an easement fee if issued to the authority.
All right, we'll make that change and submit it. And then there's no separate letter required from the authority as well, but I can work with you on the details of that once we get through this.
All right. Okay.
And given that, that does not require, given that it's the authority doing it, does not require the DRC to weigh in on that. So let's get that one. Let's see what else. We're out of time here. Landscaping. You know, we talked a little bit about this. We really didn't get much, as I said before, we didn't get much of the landscaping side. But from what I saw, let's see if I can get down here. I mean, we do have substantial buffer around here. I think, again, this is my biggest area of concern is along Paul Duroc. We already talked about this buffer, but I can't really tell from this plan how substantial it is.
It will be. Like I said, when we go through our process with the city, it's more conceptual. And so in reality, we're going to be beefing up quite a bit along that property line because of our debits that we're having to incur with the removal of all the trees that where the building is.
So this is, you're going to use this for the mitigation area over here?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
an open field now.
Yeah, yeah. It won't be after Manpaw's gets in there.
Okay.
It's going to be heavily planted with landscaping.
Okay,
mitigation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's some things that the city will require too that aren't showing up yet. Shrubs along parking and things of that nature.
Okay.
Along the pond as well.
Okay. Any other comments, questions, concerns about landscaping then? Okay. Exterior construction. I think you noted that it's going to be similar in construction to the existing Dan Foss buildings, which I think is all we really want to make sure of, is that they maintain that consistency. Signage. There was a provision. We didn't get any signage details.
They have, I guess, a very basic one that they've used before that they had sent, but it wasn't really.
So there's
fine-tuned yet, I guess.
So they've got, I mean, basically they're going to use the same signage that's consistent with their existing buildings, the red logo, all of that. They have, one I saw, they have a logo wall. Is this one of them here?
Yes.
And there's another one over here. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, and I did actually just email you of their preliminary elevations that they had.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, when we were in the first meeting.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I haven't been watching my email real time. Okay. Oh, actually, I have this picture.
Okay.
I'm presenting this afternoon at the Leon County Board of County Commissioners. On, they sent me that picture. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there are a few more. Yeah.
Oh, very nice. So as it relates to signage, does anyone have any concerns about the signage as it's presented? This is very consistent with what they've done on the other building. It actually looks really good. And I think these are backlit as well, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think their other one is. If I get here really early in the morning, I can see it. Yeah. But again, it's very well done. I like it. Oh, there's the roof as you described it. Yeah. Okay. Any concerns about signage then? I'm hearing none. Outside storage we talked about. And the lighting plan.
Yeah, I don't have one to share just yet. Sorry.
Okay. So we'll have that as an outstanding item to see. So right now, if I understand correctly, all we have left is the question about the 8-foot setback.
Actually, a question about garbage and compactor facilities.
Okay.
I did not see a dumpster. Is this solely a compactor?
Yes.
I don't see that they're screened.
The compactors?
It appears that they are exposed. Unless I'm misunderstanding, they're here.
They're coming out the back of the building.
All right, so what am I actually looking at here? Is it extending out into the area beyond the building wall, or is that simply a concrete slab that it's sitting on? So the line of the compactor is sitting inside a niche in the building?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, they do this with their existing building, I believe, from what I've seen. It's consistent with that.
And there's no dumpster.
Yeah, and that area is going to be heavily screened from the street anyway, right? With all the other mitigation area and all the other stuff. So.
Well, it does have a pretty wide presence
yeah.
to it.
Okay. So on the, just so it sounds like let me just recap. So we've got the 8-foot setback question. We have a lighting plan. Is there anything, any other items?
Yeah, the screen walls.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. The
three.
Screen wall around this, the container storage. And we're okay with the gravel surface. For the container storage.
Are these tensile structures going into the project? Is that a tensile structure?
Yes, yeah, with cloth type covers and this out in the basically where they would go out to eat or something, put some tables
right.
out there
behind the sign
patio.
Are those?
Yes, behind that wall that you saw the signage on.
Uh-huh. I understand that. But are those compliant? Is this?
I don't recall any restrictions related to that. Reading CNR from PD.
I'm wondering whether to consider it a temporary structure.
I didn't see any.
Okay.
I didn't interpret it.
If you interpret them compliant,
yeah.
then you're more versed than
yeah.
I am. So I'd lean towards your opinion.
I don't see any problem with it. Aren't they doing something similar to that in
the courtyard now? But
oh, that's in the center of the courtyard.
Yeah,
but I thought they had, well, they just have tables up, I think, on the outside part.
I think so.
Yeah, with umbrellas and stuff.
I mean, it's intended to be permanent. It may wear out quickly with the
yeah.
cloth, but I would think they would definitely fix it quickly to make it look good where they look after.
Some jurisdiction would be concerned about wind upload here and the ability to impact other things. This is pretty far removed, I suppose, from the next adjacent facility.
Yeah, this is out by Roberts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this would fall more under the zoning. I don't think there's anything in CNR that would stop that. I think we'd be more concerned probably with appearance.
There is a maintenance concern.
Yeah, sure. But again, that would fall under the lease to make sure that things are maintained properly. Okay. So we've got the 8-foot setback, the lighting plan, the screen wall. Anything else to make sure that we cover recap and their approval? subject to these things.
What is the date on the future phase? I mean, what kind of time frame?
Right now,
construction, this phase is supposed to complete in October of 2023, according to the plan. So, but I can tell you they don't know.
So the intent then for that footprint, what will be in
just
that
more
footprint?
Manufacturing, just the plan.
No. And for the term between the completion of this phase and the future phase, what will happen in that footprint? Sod, landscape?
Okay,
sod, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd landscape it because they'd have to tear it all out in the next phase.
And then you've got all that, what you call a tight deep buffer, because the adjacent parcel is. That's all the requirements that we saw. Okay. Well, if that's the case, then is there a motion to approve, subject to answering the 8-foot setback question, receiving a lighting plan, and the screen wall for the container storage area, and moving off the set, or moving to comply with the setback. Is there a motion for that?
Move to approve with stated conditions.
Okay. There's a second.
I'll second it.
There's a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. There are no objections. The motion passes. Thank you all very much for your time. I don't think anything else. Yep. Any new business? And none, then we are adjourned.